Take your Bible, turn to Romans. Romans chapter 1. Appreciate everybody. Oh, we didn't wave. We talked about all those people in Kenya. We didn't wave. There was about 550 out there last Sunday morning. We are in the village of Logisi. Logisi? It's two O's. I found out two O's over there make a long O. And we go ooh, like food, right? So it's Logisi, G-E-S-E. They're out there in the village right now. So I want everybody to look at that camera and wave to everybody out there in Kenya. And you all wave back. And I'll know it if you don't wave back. Amen. Buona Asafiwe, they say, praise the Lord. We're glad that they're with us this morning. What a testimony. What a ministry. Romans chapter 1. I've had this on my heart this week. I've never really done a study of the wrath of God. This may not be one of them, I need pick-me-up sermons. This will be one of those, I need a foot in my behind sermons. Amen? Because every now and then we need both. Sometimes we need God to pick us up. Sometimes we need God to take a rod after us and chasing us. And that's motivation. Amen? I'm going to be a motivational speaker today. I'm going to scare you to death about the wrath of God. Okay? And you'll be motivated to want things different in your life. So let's just do, I put together some of this the other day, and I got to thinking about it, and I thought, there's no way I can preach all this in one message. So the way I've got it set up today, we're gonna lay the foundation, all right? We're going to lay the foundation, and that way I don't keep you too long, but we're just going to build a foundation for what God is saying. Why am I preaching this? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding in this world about who God is and what His nature is. People like to cling on to this thing that, oh, God is love and He would never do this. He loves me. He accepts me the way I am. Let me straighten that out for you. God is love. God is love. He is a dual-natured God. Even Paul talked about the goodness and the severity of God. He's both. Goodness on them who trust Him. Severity of God is those who decide they don't trust Him, don't want Him, don't want anything to do with Him, and they want to keep going the way they're going and just snub their nose at God's commandments. God is truly love. In fact, He loves worthless sinners so much that He gave this world the richest gift that He had, which was His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world, not just the church people, the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. So yes, truly God is love. But God is the judge of all mankind, is He not? When people say to you, you have no right to judge me. Well, maybe you don't. Just answer them and say, fine, I will let God judge you. And God will. He is the righteous judge. Now I want you to think about that and ask yourself the question. Over here in Illinois a couple years ago, you might remember we had a judge and a probation officer, and I don't remember who all else. They were hooked on drugs, and one of the guys, they were out at a weekend cabin, a sitting judge, was out at a weekend cabin with a probation officer and somebody else in that little circle they had. One of them died of an overdose. So they had to call the cops. Cops come out, and here's that judge that those guys had seen, sitting in the court with his black robe on, saying order in the court, and he's pronouncing judgment over everybody. And there he is, all strung out on drugs, and they had to take him to jail. He's been disbarred, he's been kicked out, and I don't know what his sentence is, but anyway, that's all been done away. And they said, now we've got a problem. We're going to have to go back through the case log and find out every drug-related issue that came in his courtroom. Because what they found out he was doing was, he was given special treatment to some of these drug dealers if they would supply him and his cronies with drugs. And he was letting them loose. And if you didn't play his game, then you got sent to jail. Do we want judges like that in our courtrooms? We would cry against that. If Illinois, as corrupt as it is, Illinois couldn't get away with that one. Amen? As corrupt as Illinois is in places, they knew they couldn't get away with that. The people would cry out and say, we don't want these kind of judges. I don't want those people being our president either. Hillary! Amen. I don't want those people being our president. I don't want those people running the show. So now I'm going to take that and I'm going to move up one level. Why would you want a God who is the judge of all mankind showing special favoritism to certain people like you while you want everybody else condemned? Can you trust a thief or a crook? No honor among thieves, right? Could you trust an unjust judge to judge you like he judges everybody else? No, you can't. Because while you think, oh, I've got an inside deal with the judge. I've heard this all the time, Sterling. Me and God worked our own thing out. That means I can smoke and drink and do a little marijuana every now and then and cheat on my wife and cheat on my taxes and cheat on my time card at work. I can do all these things. I can go fishing every weekend. God knows that I'm closer to Him out on the lake with a fishing rod in my hand than I am in any church. And they say that me and God worked our own deal out. And God's just going, no, we didn't. God says, I already made an offer to you. I offered my only begotten Son for your salvation. Accept it or deny it, but that's the offer. And He offers it, Ed, to everybody. Everybody's the same in God's courtroom. You believe that? Everybody. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons. He does not give special favors to the rich or to those who have prominent, those who have power. He does not give special favors to them while He cheats everybody else out. God doesn't care who you are. God doesn't care where you came from, how much money your family has or doesn't have, and what social status you have, whether you're a pauper or a prince. God does not care. He judges on one basis only. Are your transgressions, the breaking of God's commandments, are they washed and covered in the blood of Jesus Christ? That's it. Amen? So while you may be lying to yourself, and that's the worst lying there is. Lying to yourself. While you lie to yourself and say, I made a deal with God and I can sin all I want to, and God, because I'm the nice guy, and God will still take me to heaven. You start asking people to tell the truth about you and they won't say you're a nice guy. Amen? Or a nice woman. Let's get into the Scriptures. Romans chapter 1. God's going to have to judge righteously in this world, is what I'm telling you. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Now I want you to underline that phrase, believeth. That's the basis of your salvation. Do you believe? He said, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Your faith comes from what I'm doing right now is I'm giving you the Word of God. The unfiltered, unbiased, pure Word of God is what I'm giving to you. That is the faith of God that He wants you to have. And you've got to decide whether you're going to believe it or not. So it's revealed from faith to faith as it is written. There it is. He's connecting it. The just, he says the word just, those who have been justified and they have no sins laid to their charge. It'd be like somebody being accused by a court of wrongdoing, and yet they are firm in their denial of it. And when they go to court and the jurors hear their case, the jurors are convinced this person is not guilty, and they walk out of that courtroom with the judgment of not guilty, and they say, see, we have now been justified that I did not do this thing. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, O.J. Simpson. Okay? I'm giving little subliminal hints out to you today. Okay? Patricia Stallings, you remember her? 20-some-odd years ago, they accused her of killing one child and trying to kill the other by feeding them antifreeze. And they put her in jail for life. She got a new lawyer. Come to find out, those children had a genetic defect that manufactured that in their blood. They found out that the prosecutor and everybody else was wrong, and the jury was wrong on that deal. And she got out, and she's free. She was justified of any wrongdoing. Look at that verse again. The just shall live by what? Faith. For the wrath of God is revealed. I want you to get that in your mind and in your heart in case you have any question about what the wrath of God is. We're going to reveal it in this sermon, next Sunday. It depends on how long God's going to drag it out. But he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. I mentioned this in Sunday school. Who in here knows that stealing something that does not belong to you is wrong? Amen. Even in this adulterous and perverted generation that we live in right now, most of these guys and gals that are going around on the internet cheating on their husband and wives, they do it in secret. Why? Because they know that it's wrong. And they probably have never been to church a day in their life and they know it's wrong. That's why they keep it secret. You see what I'm saying? You know that things are wrong because God wrote them in your heart. That these are my commandments and to go against them is wrong. Our conscience knows it. And it'll witness against us every time. That's how you know that there is a God who put them there that is going to judge you for those things one of these days. Okay? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to, number one, corruptible man, number two, birds, number three, four-footed beast, and number four, creeping things. Now, why did I count those things in that passage? Because what man does with God's love toward them, he corrupts to make it something that God never said and God never does. And what these four things are, when people make an image of God in their mind that is like to four things on this earth, they have taken that and replaced the four things that God gave us. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John revealed to us and revealed to the world, including the Jews, who the real God was, and that they were under the condemnation of sin, and Christ bore our sins and transgressions on His body when He took it to the cross, nailing the things that were against us, so that they would, when He died, those things that were against us died with Him. Somebody say amen. I feel like shouting a little bit. Woo! That's Baptist shouting. Okay? I don't want to hurt myself. See, there's four things that are for you. So here's what everybody does. They take out their little imagination, hammer and chisel. And they take something from this world and they carve out an image of the God that they're going to serve. And the image of that God bears little or no resemblance to the real God that is shown to you in your Bible. So here's a guy or gal, and they're chipping away at things of this world, and they'll tell you, when you bring up God, oh, I love God, but it's not the same God. Oh, I love Jesus, it's not the same Jesus. They've carved an image in their mind and in their heart of the God that they serve. The God that they serve lets them sin. The God that they serve loves them unconditionally and will never do any harm to them. The God that they serve will look the other way when they go out and sleep around on their wife or husband, when they go out and get drunk, when they beat their kids up because they were too drunk, when they missed work and they cheated on their time card, or when they stole stuff, they stole tax money from the federal government, or when they did this and when they did that. That God looks the other way. That God lets them go hunting and fishing all weekend long, never darken the door of a church, never listen to a preacher, never hear the Word of God preached at all in their life. And they have carved out an image of God. That's the God that they serve. Those are the people who are going to face the wrath of the God that they cheated. You see that? Look at verse 23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God. Let me ask you a question. What is the truth of God? You're holding it in your hand. If you didn't bring a Bible, reach up there in them little hymn book holders. There should be a King James Bible in there. Is there? Do we still have them here? Okay. If we don't, we better get some. That way everybody in this building is reading out the same Bible. Amen? Amen. What you're seeing here, what I'm reading to you is what you're reading in your lap, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God that you need to hear about is His wrath. His, what the Bible calls His hot displeasure. When we get angry at somebody, we feel the temperature in our body rise, don't we? Our faces get flushed. Our eyes get bloodshot red. We start shaking. You know why? Because it triggers, what is that, adrenaline? It's, you know what we're doing? We're ready to fight. When we get good and mad, we're ready to fight. And we'll start shaking. Can't control it. That's the adrenaline in you. And when that happens, when you get really good and mad, you get hot. And we even didn't describe it. I'll tell you what, I'm hotter than a fire over this deal. Somebody tries to cheat you, or somebody does this or says this to you or whatever. You say, man, I'm hotter than a firecracker right now over this. We even say it of ourselves. And since the Bible talks about God's hot displeasure, what do you think the wrath of God feels like, looks like, smells like, and what it does? It burns. Amen? It burns. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. And it's got the word amen there, so I want to hear everybody say
amen.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to teach this right. I want to preach it. I want to do it in love. But Father, Lord, I don't want to hold back on anything that Your Word says. Lord, every man, woman, and child in this world at some point is going to have to face the awful truth. And that awful truth is that all of us, everybody in this world, is going to stand in front of You while You are on Your judgment seat. And Lord, they may lie to themselves now and say to themselves, yes, I believe in God, but it's a God that they carved out in their mind. It is not You. It is a God that lets them sin without any consequences. It is a God that lets them get away with anything, loves them the way they are, has no ambition to change them whatsoever, and they can snub their nose at You all the days of their life and dare You to send them to hell. That's the God that people worship. And Lord, they're going to have to face this truth. And Father, You've shown us here that it's better to face it now, here on this earth, than to die and face it when it's too late to do anything about it. Father, You love us humans. You love us, Lord, so much that You give us the opportunity to serve You and to accept Your grace and Your mercy and Your forgiveness while we're here on this earth. But that is our chance. That is our time. We have one great, big, gigantic chance to believe and trust in Your grace and Your salvation. Because as it is appointed unto us once to die, after this, Lord, is judgment. And Father, for anybody, Lord, who would try to soften Your nature and Your just rulings from heaven into thinking that only the really, really, really bad people go to hell, Lord, may it change their mind and their heart. The Word of God going into them that can do, Lord, what I cannot do. So, Lord, I'm asking Your blessing and Your favor, Lord, upon this message. I ask You, God, Lord, that You would direct my thoughts and the Holy Spirit would speak to everybody listening, everybody here on the inside while I preach on the outside of their hearing. Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that You would convince some sinner today that they're not going and that they're going to have to face the wrath of God. And God, change them. Change them in Your time. You don't have to do it today, but God, change them in Your time and in Your way so that they have been delivered from the wrath to come. Bless Your Word and honor Your Word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now take your Bible, turn to Leviticus chapter 10. What I'm going to do, now Paul made it clear. Paul made it very clear. He mentioned the wrath of God. If I were to try to define the wrath of God, I would say the wrath of God is the opposite of the love and the mercy of God. God is both merciful. God is kind. God is love. God will accept you in all of your wickedness, and God will transform you. But one thing that God will not do is He will not allow you to remain in the cesspool of your sins and your transgressions and your self-will and your pride while He just keeps putting up with it and then take you to heaven, even though you have denied Him all of your life. He will not do that. The Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, I found out the Mormons do this, and there are other groups, Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism says, if you don't quite make it here on this earth, you'll go to purgatory, and maybe some people up here on this earth will pay enough money to have masses said for you so that you get another shot at going to heaven after you die. That is where did that lie come from? That came out of hell, didn't it? There are not three places and three choices for you to go to. Door number one, door number two, and door number three. There's either heaven or hell. And if you're going to live in this life, listen, I want to know. I want to know that when I draw my last breath, I want to know, and I want everybody around me to know where I'm going. You need to know that. Because if you don't know it, chances are you're not going to heaven. And I'm going to show you the wrath of God. For those of you who think, well, God's all merciful, God's loving, God would never do this to anybody except for people that I don't like. God would never do this to me because God is love. Let me tell you about the real God. Not the one in your mind, but the real God in His Word. Let me tell you what God did. In Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible's going to give you a story here about two men, Nadab and Abihu. Look at verse 1. They were the sons of Aaron. Who was Aaron? Aaron was the high priest. There was nobody of ecclesiastical authority higher than Aaron. And Aaron had his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, trained to do the service of the Lord in the tabernacle. God had given, in spite of what everybody says out here, in spite of what some of these churches are saying out here, God had given clear instructions. No ambiguity whatsoever about what He wanted done in His tabernacle. God said, I want this done, and I want it done this way, and I want this here, and this here, and this here, and I want this at this certain time of day, and I want the blood done this and this. God laid out every single rule for them in the tabernacle service, and Nadab and Abihu were trained in that. You know what I get out of this so far? Church people are going to face the wrath of Almighty God one of these days. You believe that? When the world accuses us of being hypocrites, they're not totally wrong. Did you know that you can ride a church pew all the way in to the gates of hell? People have done it. And I just don't accept that, well, everybody's in church today, so I guess everybody's going to heaven. I don't buy that for a minute. I got a spirit in me called the spirit of the fear of the Lord. That keeps my head straight. Keeps my mind right with God. Keeps me on my knees when I need to be on my knees. Because I know God and I know how good He is. I know how good God's been to me. But I also know what I could face if I'm not right with God. Nadab and Abihu were in the church. They were high-ranking members of the church. Because when Aaron died, then that mantle of service, the high priest would have gone to either Nadab or Abihu. They were the next in line to be the holy high priest of God. So look at what they did. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense therein and offered strange fire before the Lord. Now let me stop right here. It says, which He commanded them not. God had even defined what incense was to be burnt inside the tabernacle. And if you're not sure what that symbolizes, the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, tells us that incense going up to God is our prayers going before God. Which way does the smoke go? Isn't that neat? That's where God is. Amen? So every time you pray, it is a sweet smell. By the way, it wasn't cigarettes. Amen? It wasn't cigars or marijuana. That's strange fire. God had specified the incense that they were to burn in there. And that was a representation of the prayers of the people going up before God. When they offered strange fire to God, it was a phony, fake, strange prayer that these people were making that to God accounted to nothing. It was like they were calling upon God and making service to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. That is strange fire. And you can be in a church. You can be the head of your family. You can be a pastor and pray the greatest prayers that man has ever heard and have your heart so far away from God that it means nothing, and God knows the difference. So they offered strange fire before the Lord that God commanded them not to do that. Now verse 2. And there went out what from the Lord? A bowl of daisies? Some sugar cookies? Fire from the Lord. And what did it do to them? Devoured them. See, I told you God's anger had a temperature, didn't I? His hot displeasure. The wrath of God waxed hot upon them. And God sent down fire from heaven and burnt them and consumed them alive. And He did it right in front of everybody. I believe that it's going to sound barbaric. There was a time in this country when we hanged people in the city square for committing crimes worthy of the death penalty. You say that's barbaric. No, that's an example. That is, and by the way, God, in case you don't believe this, God is the one who came up with the death penalty. Go read Genesis 9. God said before there was ever a law given to Israel that if any man shed another man's blood, by man his blood would be shed. You say, well, that's the old days. God changes not. And a deterrent to what's going on in this country would be hard punishment or execution so that everybody could see it and be warned, this is what happens when you break the law. Right here, God did not have Nadab and Abihu go out behind a tree somewhere while He did it. He did not do it in a closed room. He did it in front of everybody. And what that did was, in fact, let's read it. Verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it. They did it in front of their own dad. God slew Aaron's sons in front of him. Moses said, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. He knew that what had happened was right. Don't ever, listen to me. I believe in love and family. I love my family. I love my kinfolk, my cousins, aunts, uncles. I love them all. Do not love anybody in your family more than you love God. God did this right in front of Aaron. You see, God is no respecter of persons, is He? So He did this in front of Aaron, and Aaron held his peace. Verse 4, Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, come near, these were his cousins. Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them in their coasts out of the camp as Moses had said. Now I'm going to stop here again. It's really what I'm doing. I'm just kind of preaching through some very important key verses, and then I'm going to let y'all go. Not only did God do this to Aaron's sons, He did it in front of Aaron. Then, as their burnt, charred remains laid there, God commanded that Moses and Aaron's uncle send his two boys. This would be Moses and Aaron's cousins. You notice something going on here? It's all been done in the family. Moses and Aaron's cousins were charged with picking up Nadab and Abihu's crisp body and taking it outside the camp and getting rid of the iniquity and the sin and the wrath of God out of the will of the people. And here's what I'm telling you. Again, with the family issue. I think you ought to love your family. Love them. Pray for them. Be nice to them. Don't pick a fight with them every time you get around them. That's easy to do. Somebody say amen. Love them to death. But don't choose them over God. And I'm going to tell you something. I know a guy. I haven't seen him in years. He was a guy that Lisa and I knew, and she'll probably know the name if I give it. He was convinced in his heart that God had called him to preach. So he announced that, and they ordained him, and he had this little church that he was preaching at. It was his first church that he ever had. His wife never even went. He left his wife at home while he went to pastor and preach to this little church out in the country. And as far as I know, she never came around. Never did. Now, he loved his wife. I knew the man. He loved his wife. He was very, very patient, very kind to her. But she was probably just about as mean as Jezebel. And she decided she wasn't going for this nonsense. And she never went. And that man decided that it was better to serve God and live for Him than to lay down for his wife. That's tough. But that's what God requires. There is not a person in this world that for me takes the place of the wrath of God. I won't let anybody come between me and God's salvation. And I love my family. I love them with tears in my eyes. I love my family. But I can't hold back simply because they're not going. Amen? It was Moses, it was Aaron's sons, Moses' nephews, and then the cousins had to go out and carry the body out. Verse 6, Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. His own family, upon seeing that. And here's what I'm getting to you. God did this in front of everybody. God wanted it to be seen. God took these two young men and made them an example to everybody standing around there, including members of their own family. Let me just kind of wander off on this for a minute. Doesn't it make you mad when somebody in power in this country pulls in members of their family to be their cronies and they gives them all those important jobs in the county or the state or Washington, D.C.? Don't you think that's wrong? We actually have laws against it, don't we? Okay? That makes us mad when we see a judge or president or county officer or somebody giving favoritism to somebody that's in their own family while they throw the book at everybody else. Do you want a God that gives favoritism to certain people because of the position they're in the church while everybody else gets the hammer of God's wrath? I wouldn't serve that God. I would not have it. If it's wrong for the governor, if it's wrong for the president, if it's wrong for the county executive, if it's wrong for the mayor, if it's wrong for the pastor, it's wrong for everybody else. Can I hear you say amen? God did this as an example. And here's what I'm laying out to you. The wrath of God, Paul just said it in Romans, the wrath of God is revealed. Okay? We've had two earthquakes in the last 2-3 days. Big ones. Another one in Japan killed I don't know how many people. Another one down in Ecuador killed I don't know how many people. Okay? Now, I'm not saying, oh, these are the earthquakes that's going to accompany the Lord's coming. But I'll tell you one thing. When God shakes the earth, you know what He's telling the world? Watch what I can do. Amen. Who controls the earthquakes? The federal government? No. God does. You know what God's going to do before Christ returns? He's going to put earthquakes in diverse places around the earth. God is going to shake the heavens and He's going to shake the earth at the same time. And everybody's going to know what God can do. Should be a warning. I'll never forget This young lady here calls me September 11th, 2001. You know why she called? She was shaken. And she says, I don't want to go to hell. Still don't, do you, Christina? How long ago was that? 15 years ago? 15 years later, she still does not want to go to hell. 15 years later, her Uncle Mike still does not want to go to hell. But what God did with her and Jared both, God shook them and says, you see what I can do? You see my wrath coming down upon a nation? Jerry Falwell came out September 12th and said, this is God's judgment upon a nation that snubs their nose at Him, removes the Ten Commandments out of her schools and prayer, has sodomites all over the place, and are killing their unborn babies. That's what he said September 12th. And then he probably got some phone calls, and 3 days later he's apologizing for it. Don't apologize for that. That is God showing us, this is what I can do. And He did it publicly so that everybody would know exactly who He is. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to read through this. I'm going to let you go. 1 Corinthians 10. Examples. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to read through a list of things that Israel did. And ask yourself, are these things on my list? Have I done these things? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We don't have time to do it today. You can, when you go home, get your Bible out and go back to Romans chapter 1. Read the whole chapter. Because there's a list of things in Romans chapter 1 that they which commit such things are worthy of death. The death... I'm going to show you God. I want to show you... Boy, God, help them bear with me just for a minute. A minute in preacher time is a long time. I'm going to read this. In fact, I'm going to close with this. Turn to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to close with this. Romans chapter 1. Here's the wrath of God. Because you might say, I'm a good person, and the things that I have done are really not that bad. You might say that. Or, you might say that about somebody in your family. Well, they're a good person. I mean, I just don't see God condemning them because, I mean, they're good people. I don't see God doing that. Did you know our churches are full of people like that? All over this country. Probably all over Kenya, too. Well, I got an aunt and uncle. Boy, they're good people. I mean, I know they don't go to church. We do, but I don't see God. Let me tell you what they're guilty of. Romans chapter 1. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, he's going to list some things that encompass that. Number one, fornication. You know what that is? That is any kind of marital activity outside of the marriage. Any kind. That word encompasses all of it. Fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. Really? Does your family member, did they ever say, honey, our neighbor's house, they're fixing their patio up. Let's fix our patio up better than our neighbor's. See, you got to see this thing how God sees it and not the God that you carved out in your mind. God said He imposes the death penalty on those who are covetous. Malicious. That means when the guy pulled in front of them on Highway 55 and cut them off, they hit the gas pedal, come back around them, and swiped over in front of them with about this much room, and then hit the brakes. Why? Because they did it to me! Stupid people! So you know what you are? You went after them on purpose because they made you mad. Full of envy! Covetousness. Murders! Well, bless God, I ain't killed nobody. Yeah, but you had it worked out in your mind how you would do it. That's a joke I tell with Lisa all the time. She says, what, are you trying to kill me? And I always say, not that way. No way, I would never kill you that way. I would never kill my wife, just for the record. Okay? Debate? Listen to me. You know who debaters are? People who in their mind they're always right, and they're always going to tell you how wrong you are, and if you say anything against them, they're going to beat on you with their words and tell you how right they are. They'll never let you rest until you admit that they're right. People like that are going to get the death penalty. You guys, listen. Deceit. Lying to people. Malignity. Means you're like a cancer. You just destroy everything God. Whisperers. Tell me what a whisperer is. We don't whisper so much in this country, in this century. I mean, as far as, hey, look at that guy over there. See what he's doing? We don't do that. We text people. We send private messages. Whisper about other people. Degrading other people. Talking down our nose to other people. You've got the death penalty coming to you. For those of you who don't think you're all that bad, let me tell you how God sees you. God sees you. You are that bad. So far, I just want to do a little census here. So far, has anybody found something on their list? Whisperers, backbiters. That's talking behind somebody's back. Haters of God. Despiteful. You did things out of spite. You do it to your husband. You do it to your wife. Just do things to make her mad out of spite. Do it to your kids. Kids, you do it to your parents. Go clean your room. And so you just go in there and slam the door and throw stuff around. Don't clean your room. Why are you doing it? Because you're doing it out of spite. Proud. And those of you who are proud, you probably quit listening to me about 10 minutes ago. You don't want to hear it. I ain't that. Boasters. That's you. Proud. I ain't like that. I'm better than that. You're boaster. Inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Did you hear that? Disobedient to parents. You are under the death penalty. As far as God's concerned. Without understanding. Covenant. Without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. Verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That is why God wanted Moses' cousins to drag them bodies outside the camp. He wanted to make sure that Aaron and Moses and all of their family consented that what these guys did was wrong and that God is holy and just. And if He has to come down on people in our family, then He's got to do it because He's God. You don't give a pass to your own family members. You don't get a free way to people just because you know them or just because you're hooked in with them. You don't do that. Those people are going to face the wrath of Almighty God. And if you love them the way you say you love them, you would try to tell them in some way that they're going to go to hell when they die unless God changes them. That's what you do to your family. That's what you do to your friends. Because they're going to face the wrath of God. And maybe some of you, if you are on this list, accept that Christ has washed all of your sins away. Amen. You're going to face the wrath of God.